Blog Talk Radio.
Following today's events, it's been something else here in America. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio here at West Side Visions. I am Brother and shortly by Sister Reed. Boy, have our Supreme Court been wild and loose and exciting or what? You know, it was said earlier in the year that when they overturned Roe, that they would start attacking other standing principles within the system. And lo and behold, truth be told, they went after affirmative action. Who would have thunk it? Sister Reed, are you in there?
Yes, I'm here, brother. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right.
I was just saying how our Supreme Court had overturned affirmative action today.
Right. Well, they definitely gutted it. Yes.
They gutted it in a 6-3 decision. These students for and 6-2 decision and students for fair.
Right.
Which they said the 14th Amendment.
Yes.
Now, Alvin Yang with fair admissions and was denied admission to Harvard decided that he was going to be the face of the
right
and said how great it was, and it was the because Asians were now getting the respect that they deserved, and he may have felt
mm-hmm.
that way.
Well, you know,
the powers that be
have been trying to make certain Asian groups the chosen minority that, you know, they didn't need any assistance getting in and blah, blah, blah. Well, there are certain groups of Asians that I know for a fact would need assistance. And I'm thinking about our Hmong brothers and sisters. I'm thinking about our Pacific Islander brothers and sisters. And so they were very circumspect in choosing this person to represent Asians. And, you know, Brother Tony, we need to talk about what we're going to do to get rid of that affirmative action that they didn't take. And I'm talking about the legacy of affirmative action of rich, you know, donors whose grandfathers, great-grandfathers, uncles, cousins, have gone to these institutions and continue to do so just based on their family's last names.
Yes, legacies. And what I appreciate about Mr. Yang was he decided to make the face of the villain black students. I didn't get in because they overlooked me. And of course, you know, their favorite line always is, well, you know, we're all people of color. I'll be the first one to tell you, I am not a person.
Yes.
When black students Fresno State, They don't look at them as people of color.
No, they look at them as black folks. Straight up.
And it also gets me that Amos Bloom, a Jewish guy, led the charge on this. It amazes me that two of several minorities who have been attacked, those in power, were willing to step up and lead the charge and point the finger at those of a darker persuasion, saying they're the problem.
Well, you know what, Brother Tony? Nobody was surprised. I know you weren't, and I wasn't surprised by today's ruling. But what does continue to baffle me is how accepting people are of America getting pushed back to pre-Jim Crow stances. And I don't understand how it is that Americans can talk about, you know, equality and liberty and all of this stuff that the Constitution is supposed to stand for when they want to go back to pre-Jim Crow political beliefs. And that's where we're heading. We knew that when they overturned Roe versus Wade with the Dobbs decision, that individual rights were going to start to be eroded. And they apparently, this Jewish guy, Mr. Bloom and Mr. Yang, have no problem getting on this train with the white establishment. And it makes me, it's interesting because don't they realize that they are going to be in the same boat that we're in the end? We're all going to be in that same boat. Hey, if you are not Caucasian, if you are not well-heeled, if you don't have a lot of money, and I mean a lot of money, you a problem. And that's what folks are not getting. They talk about diversity, but they don't really want diversity.
Exactly. I'm going to say that, and you hit it right on the head. They talk diversity, but always remember, they only want diversity for certain people, for certain groups. Now, Victor Yang had the audacity to stand on the microphone and talk, your name is Gonzalez, or you could now be part of the big can be counted as one. And it always amazes me how they always try to drag Hispanic America in there with them. Now, don't get me wrong, it may be some that feel that way, but I can tell you today I've talked to a lot of people, and a lot of Hispanic people that I talk to are not happy with this, because they realize they will be the next victim.
Exactly. And we need to realize, you know what, and we need to realize as black folks, and they need to realize as Latinos or Chicanos or Asians, that they are trying to pit us against one another. And one of the whole cards that Latinos have is that they're the fastest growing population in America. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why we are always saying to people, all people, get registered and vote. This whole thing sprang from the fact that a lot of people didn't vote for whatever reason, or they splintered their vote. 45 got in office. 45 appointed these people. And there you go. So voting does count, and we cannot allow this ugly wave of racism, because that's what it is, to turn us in the wrong direction. We cannot allow them to pit us against one another. We need to all be rowing in the same direction.
That is correct.
If we are going to hold the line on this kind of behavior.
Yes, and the other thing that you truly must realize is, and I say this all the time, when they show you who they are, believe them. They have showed you that they are truly racist. They don't care about you. They want to make you the bad guy. So believe me, don't sit back and think, oh, they'll come.
No. No. And we need to accept the fact.
It reminds me of. Today's ruling reminds me of that may have been owned by Orientals. You getting ready to buy something, realizing that they're following you down every aisle. And when they used to do that to me, I would okay and walk out the store. And we'll
right.
walk a few more blocks to one where I would do what I needed to do and go about my business.
And who would have thunk it that in 2023 we're still having these kinds of conversations about race? But the fact of the matter is that race continues to be an issue in America. How it's used, when it's used, and who's using it. The Supreme Court totally made a nonsensical judgment today. They're trying to cite the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, which tried to give full citizenship to previously enslaved people. And now they're trying to use that same argument, flip it on its head, and say the descendants of these same people should not be given a look-see or consideration of their race when they're applying to serve in Ivy League schools. I mean, it's ludicrous. It's criminal. And Clarence Thomas really should, you know, take his self-loathing, you know, step and fetch it, coon walk in stealth, and retire from the Supreme Court, because he is an embarrassment, not just to his own people, but to the justice system in America. And Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson laid it out when she put it to him in direct response to his concurrent submission to this Roberts decision. It's just, I'm 65 years old. I cannot believe that we are fighting for things that our great grandparents fought for, that our great nieces and nephews are going to have to contend with, Tony. I mean, I'm tired of marching. I'm tired of marching, and I'm tired of holding up signs, and I'm tired of shouting. I want some justice. And the only way we're going to get it, listeners, is to get registered, go to the poll, and vote. Vote every time there's an election. Vote from dog catcher all the way to president. And vote blue.
Well, you know, you speak of holding the line. One of the things about holding the line is to stop blindly believing that you have allies. That you do not. Because if you did, it wouldn't happen that way, but it did. And the thing about it is, Clarence, go. So for the time that he was on the Supreme Court, their lives difficult. And lo and behold, he has definitely lived up to his promise.
Uh-huh.
And, I have heard people say, well, you know, sooner or later, it's going to catch up with him, the things he's been doing, the way he's been selling out. Clarence Thomas is still there. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to be taken off the court.
Right.
He continues
to be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Is let your vote be your voice.
Yes.
Stop talking about it. Mention Justice Jackson, who is court's only black female judge, and not all in her dissent. Being a graduate, had to vote. She wouldn't be allowed to speak on it. Many that this decision is a step backwards for minorities and that college and universities must ensure today has proven that we're dealing with a rogue Supreme Court.
Right.
So think about it. They went after Roe. Now they've gone after
correction.
So those of you who are in interracial relationships, get ready. They're coming for you next.
I'm sure they're going to go after Biden's student loan forgiveness program as well. They are going to go after every individual right that they feel does not coincide and is in lockstep with their conservative view. Yes.
I said on Tuesday that the fact that they had said yes to one or two things meant that they were gearing up to do something super stupid. And lo and behold, today they did something very super stupid.
Right. Well, you know what? Many people are saying, and I agree, and many of us agreed with you that this was the gear up to this. So what we're going to have here is a fight for a second reconstruction period in America. And people are going to be looking at the Constitution and all this. And, you know, one of the talking heads that was on MSNBC today said quite literally, I believe her name was Juanita Tolliver, a young sister who was Ivy League educated. She said, you know, people forget that the Constitution was not written for anybody sitting at this table. She was on the readout with Joy Reid.
Yeah, there was
an Asian brother that was on the show as well. And she said the Constitution wasn't applying to any of us, you know, in real time when it was written. And it's true. And so we have to remember the history. But see, this is what the Supreme Court is supposed to do. They are supposed to take not just a literal reading of the Constitution. They are supposed to take the spirit and the intention of what was meant when those amendments were written. And that is not being done. And this is why, and one of the things, I have to add this, one of the things that worries me the most is that disenfranchised people who are marginalized, black people and everybody behind us, was always able to look to federal laws and the federal courts for some sort of redress and protection. Because a lot of times states' rights meant that, okay, well, you know, we're talking Confederate states or, you know, somebody who... Yeah. Well, that is no longer the case. So the only redress we're going to have is legislatively, and that means we got to vote people in who are going to offer these protections to us. We got to vote like our great-grandparents did, like our grandparents did. We have got to vote, and then we have to hold people accountable. I can't see another way. Maybe somebody else has a solution. But I can't see another way to do this without a lot of bloodshed. I really don't.
You know, and there are some of us, I am one, who have none, because I know for a fact that sooner or later, I fought in wars. So I understand the mistake the United States made was at the Confederacy was not punishing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, brother, we forgive you.
Right.
Build up to where we are today.
Exactly.
To build up to where we are today. Is going to take America into the 2024 election with a bad taste in its mouth.
Uh-huh.
And today, as I was going here, and I'm looking at people, and you know, I love people who try to play that middle of the road game. Well, you know, I'm not necessarily against it. I'm not necessarily for it. But we do have to take color out of the issue. We live in America. We live in America. Color will never be out of the issue because white America will not let that be.
Okay.
And they will always make color part of the issue.
Whether it's spoken or not.
Problem. They had a problem with President Barack Obama wearing a tan suit. A white man. Anything.
Right.
They
right.
Were always color.
Well, this is part of the backlash that we're dealing with, is the Obama presidency. This is all part of that. This is part of it. Hello? Hello? Brother Tony? Brother Tony? Brother Tony?
Okay.
Brother Tony?
All right, Sister Reed, there you are.
Okay, yeah. For some reason, I guess I got kicked out, but please continue with you.
We both got kicked out, so I just went to the phone and got us back in. So here's the deal, okay? I'm trying to remember where I left off before, you know, we once again got attacked.
You were talking about people being middle of the road.
Yeah, thank you. So,
you're welcome.
You know, we I was listening to people start with that middle of the road madness. Well, you know, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing what happened today, and I'm not saying it's a good thing that happened, but we got to find a way to fix it. I hate those people because what you're looking for is, you know, you're trying to get stroked and you want somebody to pat you on the head and be like, well, okay, maybe you're not the racist type, but, you know, it's all right to feel that way. And I'm going to be honest. Okay, you want to feel that way, that's your business. But be fair and honest about how you're feeling. Don't play the game.
Well, right. And the truth of the matter is that whether it's spoken or unspoken, race plays, there's a layer of race, whether it's good or bad, whether it's racism or whatever, in every aspect of American life. When you go to buy a home, when you go to get credit, every single thing in our lives, where you go to school, where your kids go to school, the whole thing about college applications, it's all about race. And Americans want to pretend like they're colorblind, and they are not. And, you know, white privilege is a real thing, and white people don't understand that they have it whether they want to acknowledge it or not. It is a fact of American life. If you have white skin, you are going to enjoy white privilege. And
exactly.
That's just the way that it is. But don't make
and
it hard for the rest of us by saying that, you know, let's put all this behind us, because we can't. We're walking around in the uniforms that we were issued at birth. And I'm proud of my uniform, but don't try to tell me it's no longer an issue or a problem for me. Don't tell me about myself. Let me tell you.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing. They want to sit back and say, well, you know, it's not about color. Oh, yeah, when it comes to Black America, it's always about color. Because like
always.
I said earlier, Mr. Yang decided to make the enemy Black students. I didn't get in because they accepted Black students and overlooked me, a good Asian student.
We're
really?
An easy target. Yeah.
Yeah.
Alan Locke said the same thing in 1977. Yeah. So,
you know.
But brother Tony, that's one of the reasons why we were talking about 4th of July as it relates to Black people in America in 2023, and what does that mean? And this is all tied together, so we really haven't gone off track. This is all part of a whole cloth, listeners. It really is. And
yes,
people need to
is.
Understand that, yeah, we're not trying to stir up, you know, anything. The ocean is already rocky on this. We're just trying to stay in the boat.
Exactly. You know, it amazes me now. They point at Black students, but yet no one has opened their mouths about legacies. You know, I was sitting here talking about Twitter feed. There's a cartoon from the Supreme Court where they took the upward ladder from the Black kid and said, your ladder's unnecessary, but yet you see the legacy climbing up his ladder.
Right. Right, and it continues to be so. So let's get rid of legacies at all these Ivy League schools and all these prep schools. Let's do that.
But let me tell you why this is not going to happen. Legacies. Legacies have parents with big bucks and deep pockets. And this is why no one is saying anything about legacies. Because when we need a new sign. When they need a new science building, or they need a new laboratory or a new stadium, they're going to run to them folks. Oh,
well,
little Johnny wants to get in? No problem.
And you know what the sad part is, Brother Tony? When they need a new building, but some of those old buildings were built with Black hands and Black blood. And, you know, we have already paid our dues about a lot of things that went on at these institutions, but they don't want to acknowledge it. That is what this is what we're talking about. Race is always going to play a part. It's always going to play a part in American life. And until Americans get right with themselves, you know, they better get reconciled about how we're going to deal with this, because this problem is not going to go away. And lot of people are up in arms about this. So, and I just have to say this, Brother Tony, thank goodness for HBCUs. Thank goodness, because the brother from Howard University, the president of Howard University, was talking on CNN today, and he said, you know, Howard, HBCUs are 3% of the college population nationwide, but they generate 25% of Black graduates. That is a hell of a lot, and I know for a fact that Howard University cranks out more Black doctors than any other medical school in this country. So this is going to put an added burden on HBCUs, but I say thank God for them that our students have somewhere to go. You know, if they choose to, yes.
You know, and the thing is, you know, I was talking to some guys today, and one of the things they was like, well, you know, you might want to tell your students to go to some HBCUs. I say, well, let me explain something to you.
My last four graduates all came from HBCUs. Lincoln in Missouri, Texas Southern in Texas, Prairie View, The Yard in Texas.
Hello.
Florida A&M, home of the Marching 100 in Tallahassee, Florida. And a shout out to my cousin Cleo, who was getting ready to retire from counseling there, down there with them Rattlers at Florida A&M.
Mm-hmm.
So don't tell me that they can't go get a good education. My nephew from right here in Fresno, California, Mr. Kyrie Brown, graduated from Lincoln and just got his master's from Ball State. So don't tell me it can't be done.
And I believe Ball State is in Indiana, correct?
It is. And they all, my great niece, she was the valedictorian at Texas Southern.
Mm-hmm.
She is now working for ESPN. So that's
well,
they
I got
can't
to
get.
To young Floyd D. Harris, the third, who just graduated, Fresno Freedom School student, student founder, graduated from Southern University and has now got a job in Wisconsin working for the USDA. These are the kind of folks we're talking about. Yes, excellence.
So don't
black
tell
excellence.
Me it can't be done. Don't tell me HBCUs don't give these children a quality education because they do.
Oh, yes, they do. Yeah, they do. Yes, they do. And they have for years. My mom's
they
brother, my Uncle Roy, he graduated from Prairie View A&M. And we're talking about in the mid-1900s, okay? In the mid-20s, he did. So we know that HBCUs are an option. We are talking about equality and liberty, about applying to other schools and having a fair and equal shot. And people don't understand what affirmative action is about, Brother Tony. And I want to paint a picture that I used to share with some white friends that I had at Fresno State when we were students out there in the 70s. I said to them, okay, you take a piece of plywood and you hammer five nails in it. You pull the nails out. You add putty, you add glue, you add anything you want. You add sawdust to fill in those holes that the nails left. And that is what affirmative action is trying to do. It's trying to even the playing field. And it's not perfect, but it's a help. And that's what it is. We're not talking about students who are applying to these schools who are not qualified. We are talking about students who are qualified to go to these schools who might be overlooked because of the color of their skin or where they're from or their background. So let's not get it twisted. We're talking about students who could survive at any school, whether it's an Ivy League school, so-called Ivy League school, or an excellent HBCU.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
You know, I'm looking at Calvin Yang, and he's talking about this is the promise of a new beginning, a resurgence of the principles of the American dream, and return to the Galatherian principles. And for all, it's a shining city on a hill.
Right.
How stupid can you be? Because
well,
one thing is
when you're getting paid to say something, Brother Tony, you can be as stupid as you want.
You know, and the sad part is he has not figured out that when they are through with him, they will just toss him up to the side and keep moving.
Well, yeah, because that is how, you know, empire works. That's how colonials work. That is how capitalism works. When they no longer have a need for you, hey, you know, bye. But even President Biden said that this court is not normal. You know,
yeah.
He wants to try to paint a picture like things are going to get better. The only way things are going to get better is if we vote properly and the next president coming in can do something. But really, those justices that were put on that court by 40 need to be taken off. They need to be taken off.
It is a rogue court. And it is a rogue court, but unfortunately, you know like I know, that's not going to happen. They are not going to remove three or four judges. They will sit there for their time period until they literally croak.
Well, then that means that we're going to have to double down on voting and make sure that, you know, we protect ourselves legislatively.
Yes.
With
that is how it is going to have to be done. This thing of always expecting the other side to play fair, that only happens in the movies. This is not, that don't happen in politics. And these folks have proven to you that that is not what they are about. The Republican Party shows you every day that they are no good. They do not govern.
Well, you were talking to all those minority conservatives, because I never thought the GOP was going to do anything for the benefit of myself.
They do not govern. They do – when you don't – like I said before, when you can't govern, you do crazy stuff. You look at all these different motions to against the president. That is nuts. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Matt Gaetz.
Well, this is an extension of 45 in his influence, just like this court. I mean, and I said from the very beginning, I said what 45 is going to do is he's going to stuff the federal courts, he's going to stuff the Supreme Court, and that's exactly what he did. So even though he's out of office, we have the House of Representatives that is being controlled by the GOP, so the madness continues, and we got a court system that is going after all our individual rights. Then you got states like Texas and Florida who are, you know, off the charts with their individual rights and people going after that. So we are in dire straits in this country, and people better recognize that they better take their behinds to the polls and vote while they still got a chance. They better do it. They better do it before, you know, they turn their red some concentration camps for the rest of us.
You know, I just heard you mention Texas, and I was looking at something earlier today where Governor Greg Hot Wheels Abbott signed this bill taking away water breaks from those working in construction and different things out in that Texas heat.
Mm-hmm.
Have you lost your ever-loving mind?
He's trying to show that he is a tyrant. He is trying to show that everyday working people do not matter. He's trying to show you guys need to shut up and get in line and just take whatever we're giving you. But see, comes the reckoning. People are going to go to the polls. They're going to go to the polls. They better go to the polls.
Let me hit you with something. The reckoning in Texas has already begun, because as of 2 weeks ago, Hispanics are the largest group of people in the state of Texas.
That's great. All they got to do is register
and
vote.
And that's what I was getting ready to say. You can best believe that these upcoming elections, they getting ready to go to the polls, because, you know, people always talk about, oh, Beto O'Rourke, he's not going to do anything. As quiet as it's kept, Beto O'Rourke, he may not run for office, but he's down there mobilizing people.
See? Yeah.
He's down there mobilizing people to vote blue.
Down there in Texas. That's great.
Down there mobilizing people to vote blue. And, you know, I look at Greg Abbott, and I look at Ron DeSantis, and it's like, Which one of these, it's like they try to out-idiot each other. Now,
well, you know, it's a power play.
Ron DeSantis just signed a bill attacking migrant workers again in Florida. But yet, he's starting to realize that those migrant workers are packing up, leaving the state. Now him and his legislature, please don't leave. We have crops that need to be picked. But
right.
yet you're signing bills to do damage to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't
see,
have
make
it both
make
ways.
Sense. You
it
can't have
make
it both
sense.
Ways.
You can't have, and that's you, what they're idiots on one hand, but they're tyrants. And but see, this is the white exceptional. This is the white, supremacy. This is the white power that they're talking about. Like, oh, I can do whatever I want, and you all are just supposed to take it. No, we're not. We're gonna pack up our stuff and get. We're gonna go somewhere else where we can work without being harassed.
And that's what they're doing. They
yes.
are getting up out the state. They are going to places like, you know, North Carolina. They're getting up out of there.
But you
they're
know
going
what,
to states where. Say that again.
I was saying
they are going to states like you said, where they can work, where they can be part of a community and feel welcome.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is one of the things that I'm hoping happens, that people, they call them people of color. I say black people and everybody else who they consider minorities. However you want to say it, I really hope that they don't continue to drive a political wedge in between us, because we are going to need each other. We need to be all rowing in the same direction. Because the truth of the matter is, if we don't elect some people that are going to look out for our best interests, whether or not they look like us or not, we are going to be in a whole hell of a hurt. The cultural wars that people talk about all the time on MSNBC and CNN, it's going to get brought to the streets, because the people are only going to take so much. And see, this is the thing about a democracy. You got to be able to fight for it. If you are not willing to fight for it on a very basic grassroots level, then you are not what I like to think of as a patriot, because real Americans talk about stuff. Tony and I, we come on this show twice a week, and we're talking about things because that is what it means to be in a democratic country. If you can't talk about things and work things out, and you can agree to disagree, but we have the right to say that, just like we have a right to say, ouch, when you hit us. You know, they're trying to wipe out an entire generation or two generations of civil rights work with this ruling today. Well, we're not just going to lay down and take that. We're going to talk about this thing. We're going to fight for our rights like we've been doing since we got to this freaking country. And
exactly.
We're going to continue to do it. We're not going anywhere. We're going
and
to fight.
If you yourself want to talk about it, give us a call at 563-999-3043. You know, and that's just one of the things that's gone on this week.
That's right.
Because, you know, me and Sister Reed, we started out talking about the way we approach 4th of July these days here in America as black Americans. And I'm going to tell you straight up, I am a black man. Do not address me as a person of color. I will correct you, because I am not a person of color. I am a black man and will let you know it. Plain and simple. I am one of the few
who take a real hard stance on that so-called allyship, because I'm a true believer in once people show me what they are, I will believe.
Right.
Now,
right.
There are good people out there, and I have worked with many. But then I've also seen the other side of the coin. And once you show me who you are, you don't have to worry about me begging you to act for you to act right. But I'm not going to deal with you. And if I do deal with you, you're not going to like it.
Well, and yeah, and that's the way that it should be, brother. You know, during this week, you know, we're ramping up for 4th of July. These are the kind of questions that need to be asked of America and of each other. I mean, what is 4th of July to a black man? I mean, Frederick Douglass talked about this in 1852, and we're still talking about it today. Why? Because we still have not enjoyed all the freedoms, all the equality that was promised to us, 14th and 15th Amendment. Full citizenship hasn't happened for a lot of us. So,
and that's the sad thing for black people in America. We are always promised one thing and given another. And sometimes we're not given another. We have to take it.
Exactly.
Here we are in 2023, and we are still discussing, fighting for, and trying to buck the system to get the same things that our relatives, and they were our forefathers and mothers and relatives that fought for in the 1900s, in the early 20s, in the early 30s. We're still fighting the same old fight. My grandmother used to say, everything old is new again. My God,
and
how right she was.
And it's true. I mean, from early on, our early history tells us that, you know, the 4th, when black people tried to celebrate the 4th right after Reconstruction, white people en masse, and I mean not just in the South but across the country, attacked black folks and, you know, said that, hey, this is a white man's holiday. You shouldn't be, you know, celebrating this, because on that day, more than any other day, black people were like, look, this is what it's supposed to be. You know, it's almost like, you know, pointing a finger saying, you know, what's going on? You know, where's all this equality and freedom that you talk about? Well, they let us know by their attack that they weren't talking about us. They were talking about themselves. And so we continue this fight, and we're going to continue it until, you know, we don't have breath in our bodies. I know I plan to.
But,
I know
you
do too, Brother Tony.
One of the things that was said in Frederick Douglass's speech was that for all of the words that white America talked about, they were full of hypocrisy. And that's a true statement. On one hand, how can you talk about freedom and keep people enslaved?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
How can you talk about the land of the free and the home of the brave, but yet consider some of us 3/4 of a human being?
3/5. That's right. And Douglass was correct.
How can you do that? Consider us 3/5 of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And always expect us to be happy and smiling and just doing the bidding of someone who really doesn't want us around.
Exactly. Frederick Douglass said, what is to the American slave your 4th of July? And he said, listen, that's a day that reveals to him more than any other days of the year, in the year, the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is a constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham, and it is. It's a mockery. It's hypocrisy. Douglass had it right.
It is.
You know what, it's the same thing what you're saying just now, that for people to want us to not say anything and accept that we live in a quote-unquote colorblind society is like us accepting and chucking and jiving and skinning and grinning like, oh, everything is okay, when in fact it's not okay. The house is on fire, y'all.
As I said earlier, it's not colorblind because, again, when it comes to Black America, even though we get left holding the bag as the bad guys so many times, like with this ruling, it amazes me no one is, talking about legacies.
Mm-mm.
It's like the unspoken secret. Well, yeah, they're a legacy, but hey, they're okay because they're a legacy. Really?
Right. Right. But they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the 1% and all the tax breaks that they get. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the legacies. And they don't want to talk about the gifts that are being given to people like Alito and Thomas. They don't want to talk about that kind of stuff.
They don't want to talk about it.
Yes.
And I'm going to be real honest about that.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner or later, all these chickens will come home to roost.
Yes.
And when it implodes, it's going to be real ugly. And I'm not talking about, Civil War, because I'll be real honest about that. Should it come to that, and it just may, but should it come to that, it will be because that's the direction America drove it to.
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing is that so many of us now are better educated than our ancestors and better equipped to defend ourselves than they were. And hopefully it won't come to that. But this is why we're always talking about Black community, and it's a mindset, and we need to be together. Stop taking gifts from the power structure and selling your people out. Because when those chickens do come home to roost, what chicken coop are you going to be welcome in? See, that's
exactly.
These are the questions we have to be asking ourselves now. And this is about not just going to vote, like we're always saying, Brother Tony, because elections have consequences. We have to hold people accountable after that. I mean, come on, people. These are things that our great-great-grandparents did. They demanded the vote, and then they would vote consistently. And if our votes didn't matter, why are they always working so hard to prevent us from voting if our votes didn't matter?
Exactly.
It's really simple logic. It's simple.
It always amazes me. Go ahead, Sister Reed.
No, you go ahead. I was done.
It always amazes me that people like you and I come along, we speak our piece. And when we speak our piece, we're not just sitting up saying something to be saying it. We're speaking truth to power. Yet we will have people come along and go, man, I don't understand why y'all out there beating that drum. Can't we all just get along? I hate that, because if people wanted to get along with you, they would do the right thing by you.
Right.
Instead of constantly looking at ways to keep you downtrodden.
Exactly.
See, what a lot of people aren't looking at with this particular
population in the military and a prison industrial complex, we wouldn't. We would.
Yeah.
I mean, if Black people make up 11% total population in the United States, 11-12%, but we make up, 25% or 30% of the entire prison population, it might be more like 30 or 40. But we make up a big chunk. And why is that? See, we know why it is. We know that racism runs the mess, and you better have some money.
We know.
Go ahead.
Now, go ahead, Sister Reed.
No, I was just saying, Michael Jackson or O.J. Simpson or somebody like that, if you are black in America, you better have a boatload of money to defend yourself. And even then, they're going to rake you over the coals. I mean, everybody deserves a defense, but if you don't have any money, you know, you could be sitting up in prison for the rest of your life, and that's just the way that it is. And I was saying earlier, racism tints and colors every single thing in this country, from the schoolhouse to the courthouse to the prison. You know, and so people have got to wake up and say, I'm not going to take this anymore for myself, for my children. I'm going to fight for a better, you know, tomorrow for them. This is one of the reasons why so many of us work so hard in groups like organizations like Fresno Freedom School, where, you know, we work with students. We have a wraparound program. It's not just about the sessions that they spend at Freedom School, but we care about their grades. We care about their home life. We care about them as individuals because we know that the world we live in does not love our black children. We know that. And while we welcome children of all races, this is a black program. But we welcome everybody, and we treat everybody the same once they get there because we love kids. But America has not been kind to black people. And so we just have to double down with our resolve that we are going to do what we need to do to survive and to thrive and make that so for our children as well and to cover our elders and protect them as well. So y'all know the assignment. Y'all know the assignment. So that's what we need to do. So let's do it. Brother Tony.
Thank you, Sister Reed. You know, I think back to seeing a clip of John Lewis at the March in Washington. And the words he uttered were, we are tired. And every time I saw that clip, even though I was a youngster, itty-bitty, a small kid at the time, as I got older and saw that clip, I understood exactly what he was talking about. Because even then, back in the 60s, they were fighting that same fight that had been fought earlier by our ancestors. And they were tired, just like we are tired. And the sad part about it is we keep having to go down that same old road with that same old lantern trying to get out of the darkness. And instead of everybody coming together and working together, you have your group of folks who are going to support stupidity. Well, you know, maybe they right. Because if it wasn't for affirmative action, maybe we would have got a little bit further down the road. Why do you think affirmative action came along? Because you wasn't allowed on the road, period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Brown versus the Board of Education should have told you everything you needed to know.
That's right.
There comes a time when you have to stop being silly. You have to stop shucking and jiving for massa. I look at folks like Tim Scott, Larry Elder, who are quick to tell you, of course the white man's right. We expect too much from them. We expect them to do too much for us. We don't expect them to do anything but allow us the same freedoms that they get.
Exactly. Say that.
That's all we want. We want to be allowed to have the same chance at life and liberty that they gave themselves with no problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people always talk about culture. Well, let's just be honest. White America doesn't have a culture. The only culture they have is what they've taken from everyone they've come in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
From Black America to Hispanics to Asians.
Everything
they have, they took from someone else. I had a white guy tell me one time, you know, if it wasn't for us in jazz, pump your brakes, because you took jazz from us. Well, you know, when it came to the blues, Muddy Waters invented electricity. Let's try that again.
Yes,
because B.B. King said the thrill. B.B. King said the thrill was gone, and trust me, he knew.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever listen to the lyrics of Why I Sing the Blues, you understand exactly where Uncle B.B. was coming from.
Exactly. Exactly.
One of his lines says, when I first got the blues, they brought me over on a shift. Some men were standing around me, and another one was standing there with a whip.
See? Now, all the folks coming behind B.B. who want to sing the blues, and I'm talking about that Joe Bama, whatever his name is, and Bonnie Raitt, and all these people.
Steve Ray Vaughan, Autumn Cats.
Hello.
You know, them Winter Boys, Autumn Cats.
Yeah.
They can thank B.B. They can thank Bobby Blue Bland. They can thank Muddy Waters. They can thank Howard
They
Blue.
Can thank
and
John
as
Lee
you know,
yeah.
Rock and roll. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't care what y'all say. I'm just going to be honest with you. Like Little Richard said, before him, it was cows and chickens.
Yeah, it was. Sister Rosetta Stark. Come on.
Sister Rosetta Stark. See, the bottom line is America has no culture. The street light. The refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
The heater.
That's right.
All of that. Gas mask.
The refrigerated transport that takes our produce to the country. Yeah.
You can take a blood plasma.
We built
blood plasma. Blood plasma.
We
thank Dr. Charles Drew.
That's right. That's
your
right.
Space program.
Our brother Floyd Harris always says, we built America, and he's right about that. He's right
your
about
space
that.
Space program. You ought to thank every black woman that ever worked at NASA. Because if it wasn't for them, y'all would have got out of space.
Hello. And they did it by hand. No
and Hidden Figures. Hidden Figures just wasn't a movie. That was real life.
Yes, it was.
So, yes,
yes
we're tired of fighting for something that we should be allowed to have. We should be allowed to live just like white America lives. I don't care about Calvin Yang and nobody else standing up there saying, oh, woe is me. Because the truth of the matter is Asian Americans have had more rights than we can ever get. Yes, they had a dark period in America, too. I will not take that away from them.
No.
But it wasn't as dark as the black man. Why?
No, and it didn't last too long.
Why? Because they always decide to fall in with the oppressor so that they can reap whatever benefits that are left and they allow to give them.
Okay.
Well, they will throw
it's
in
like,
with them.
Yes, but it's like we were saying earlier, Brother Tony, we all better decide to be rowing in the same direction here soon. Because the white man is going to double down and put all of us in the same boat. And so we better decide. And I know how you feel about allyship, and I feel the same way. Everybody's an ally, you know, as you say, till the police show up. And it's that way. And I, while I, you know, appreciate allyship, I already know that it's only going to go so far. I already know
that
when the bombs start to fall that they're not going to come for me. So I go into it knowing that. So
you talk about they're going to put us in a certain area. They've already done that. It's already been done. They just too stupid to realize it.
Wow.
It's already been done. Now that they didn't have this little young Asian cat step out there and stand in front of a microphone and say what they had to say, give him 3 or 4 days. And that'll be it.
Hmm.
You know, somebody said the only thing that he gained was contempt, and that's a true statement. He thinks he's won something. The only thing he's won is contempt.
True.
And that's
a true
statement.
It
is. From here on out, he is a walking pariah.
And if he's not, he should be.
You know, and that's sad to say. Because he didn't look at the big picture. He looked at that what's in my hand right now picture. Because I'm going to tell you, somewhere down the line, he's going to need the very people that raised his leg on.
Well, and it's like that. When those chickens come home to roost, they don't care who they, you know, get plugged with their guano. But it's like that, Brother Tony. And people are going to have to choose sides here pretty quick. They're going to have to pick a side. They're not going to be allowed to be neutral. Now, people like Tim Scott, Larry Elder, they pick their side. So good, you pick your side. You stay on your side. But for the rest of us, hey,
you know what another thing that they you know, like I said, they think they won something, but this is what they ain't figured out yet. You know, those people who aren't black that can't get into Ivy League schools, they can no longer blame black students.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of brick stupid kids whose parents think they got it going on.
Mm-hmm.
Who not going, you know, and you know, like I know, they not passing these college entrance exams, no matter how they study for them or who the parents try to hook them up with.
No.
See,
I mean,
think about that big scandal. I think about that big scandal that happened down there at USC when all these folks bribing people to get their.
I was just going to bring that up.
When all these folks were bribing people to get their children in. And come to find out, you had some folks who were in Hollywood and people that we've seen on TV every other day. Part of the scandal also.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
As much as they like
to point at us and say, my kid couldn't get in because that kid got in. You can't do it no more. Why? Because you wanted it colorblind. You now have it colorblind.
Oh, well, they'll find a different way to do it. I'm sure, because that is what crooks and pariahs do. You know, that crooks, pariahs,
they do.
And parasites, we already know
that that's what they'll do. They'll move on to the next phase, which is what they always do. Legacies, we'll have nothing to worry about, because as long as the parents keep putting that money out, they'll keep letting little Johnny Brick Stupid in. That plain and simple.
And the sad part about it is, Tony, is that these are the people who, if they're not running for public office, then they are running major corporations, or they are getting an ambassadorship to somebody, to some country. And these are the people who are going to be, and I use this word loosely, in quotes, leaders that don't have an idea in their head about how anything works. Why? Because they don't have an education. Why? Because they kept passing them through. So,
well,
yeah,
you see it.
Look at the House of Representatives. Look at Lauren Boebert.
I was just about to say that. I was just about to say that. You see it every day in the House of Representatives. For example, Matthew Gaetz is a legacy, not only through college, but in the House of Representatives, because his daddy was a big-time judge in Florida. And what happened?
See?
Lil Johnny got passed through college classes. Lil Johnny worked as a fake lawyer. Then the next thing you know, he runs for the House. Well, he ran for a state seat. None of the money he put up was his. It was all his daddy's. And because his dad had been in the state legislature and had a name, they passed him on through. People voted for him. Then he got into the House for Florida. Okay, how did he get in? Again, daddy's dollars. Daddy talked to the right people. Daddy paid on the right people. And now he's sitting there in Washington, D.C., and is brick stupid.
Exactly. And we can say the same thing about folks like 45 who came from wealthy families, don't have an idea in their head, never fought in a war, lied, cheat, and stole, and here we go. So, yeah, talk about one to, return America to its greatness. America has never been great when it comes to my people. And I'm very clear about that. Very clear, very crystal clear, you know. But I do believe, Brother Tony, I believe in the idea of a democracy. I do. And since black people have fought and died and built America, we've already staked a claim here. And so the bill is now due. And I want them to pay it. And the way we can make them pay it is by us going to the polls and forcing their hands. Our great-grandparents had it correct. Our elders, our ancestors had it correct. You know, how do you always say it, Brother Tony? Your vote is your voice. That's how we're going to roar.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is why you must use it. I say it all the time. Your vote is your voice, and you must keep using it. Don't take it for granted. Don't let people tell you don't count. Don't let people tell you don't count. Don't let people tell you that, hey, you know, I don't know why you voting, because it ain't going to mean nothing. I hate to hear that. And it really irritates me when I hear someone black spouting that stupidity.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
And you know, like I know, you hear it often. I don't vote because, man, it don't count. But yet they will turn around and complain when something don't go the way they think it should. Why are you complaining? You don't vote.
Exactly. That's exactly right, Brother Tony. And you know what? We've been talking about this on a national stage, but right here in Fresno, California, you know, West Fresno is going through a rezone issue, and all of this stuff, they're going to kill us with, you know, we've already been redlined. They're going to kill us with emissions. They're going to kill us with more cars in our area. They're gentrifying us out of existence. And how are we going to fight this unless we do it together? You know, go and register and vote, people. You got city council people that have hijacked West Fresno and selling it to the highest bidder. I just drove past the West Fresno Center of City College today. It's huge, y'all. It's huge. And they haven't finished because they're going to be building those four-lane streets over there, taking out houses, taking out Hidden Center. And nobody seems to be saying a mumbling word. I just want to encourage people, if you have a problem with what's happening in West Fresno right now, contact Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability and say something. I went to a meeting last night. This young Latina, Natalie Delgado, was in charge of it. And please, contact Leadership Council, and let's try to turn the tide and not make it another sad story about black people and Latinos and Hmongs, poor Hmongs, losing out. Leadership Council's phone number is 559-369-2790. That's, again, 559-369-2790 for Leadership Council here in Fresno. Let's fight the power. And thank you, Brother Tony. I just need to get that out because, you know, I'm angry. I'm mad, and I want to do something with my anger. And I want y'all to be mad with me about what's happening in West Fresno. So let's fight the power. You know, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, quoting Fannie Lou Hamer now.
Well, God bless you, my sister. I sincerely hope that that actually inspires some in the 93706 to step forward and start doing something. Now, you and I both know there are a few folks who will step out there and do what they're supposed to. But, you know, again, they have got to get out of this. Oh, well, you know, it don't matter. Stop with the doom and gloom and let's get out here and fight.
Yes, and not just marching. You know, I'm all marched out. Not just marching, although marching does bring attention. We need a lawsuit, y'all. We need a lawsuit. We need to fight this. We need to fight it.
Yeah, it is time. It is time to take steps legally.
Yes.
Because sometimes they only understand being hit in the pocket.
This is true. Money and pain.
And that means that's what we got to do. Hit them in the pocket.
Yep. Absolutely. And so, yeah, and I'm hopeful, Brother Tony. I don't want to be, you know, a Mary Poppins or a Pollyanna, but I believe in our people. I do. I believe in our strength and our resilience, and I believe in our ability to win this fight because it's so important. We can't afford to lose. We got too many young people that we love coming up behind us. And we got to hold on to things for them.
Let's just keep it real. The sad part is Black America has been losing this fight for decades and generations. Earlier today, I posted a picture on Facebook, and you know I avoid Facebook like the plague. But I posted a picture and let it be known that I will always stand for my people in the village. Mm-hmm. And I had my Black Panther anniversary shirt on.
I saw that.
And I posted the same picture on my Twitter page. And then I had people asking me questions. You know, wasn't it a terrorist organization? I say, why don't you read up on it instead of asking me something stupid? I say, but your United States government had no problem. United States government had no problem taking a lot of what we put into action and applying it to work for this country. The Panthers had that possibly could have wanted. Well, for one, you took SNAP and used it. You took children's lunch programs and used it.
Head Start.
No, the Panthers didn't come up with that. Yeah, they did.
And
the U.S. government stole it and tried to make it their own.
Yep, they did.
Free clinics, we did that first. Then all of a sudden, the United States government did it.
Hello. Say that.
Don't hate the play, hate the game. And this is what I'm saying. You were saying earlier that we make up the majority of the prison population. Well, we do. Why? That is the way it was set up.
Mm-hmm.
From that school pipeline of special education classes to juvenile hall
to city jails, yep, to the prison.
Yep.
And those very same people who end up in prison are then used for cheap labor.
Come on.
And prisons are getting paid for their work. And they
modern
are getting pennies
slavery
for their work.
That's
it's true. Modern slavery.
Yep.
Certain jobs here in America people work are modern slavery.
Mm-hmm.
People out here working their butts off. Got to work 2 and 3 jobs to keep a roof over their head. But yet we like to say we are the richest country in the world. Then why don't we act like it? Why do we have all these homeless folks on the streets? Mm-hmm. Why do we have all these elders losing what they have worked hard for, losing their homes and being put out on the streets? Why do we have people who cannot get health care? And I don't want to hear they don't want it, they do stuff and then don't hang on to it. There should be no homeless veterans. I don't care how long you served. If you served 2 weeks after signing up to go into the military, you still should get benefits as a veteran. Why? You signed on the dotted line. You went out there and put your life at risk.
That's right. That's
right. I don't want to hear this drama. Well, they didn't serve 20 years. I don't care. There should never be a homeless veteran. There should never be a hungry veteran.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we like to scream and holler, we are the richest country in the world. No, we are the greediest country in the world. The 1% steady keeps taking and taking and taking and allotting power, make rules specifically to help the 1% take.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think about the everyday man or woman. And usually that filters into the black family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I know it's been a long night, and I know we probably talked about some things that piss some of y'all off. I don't care. I want to piss you off. Because it's time for you to get together.
I'm laughing because I'm hoping that that'll get them fired up to do something.
And that's exactly what it is. I'm tired of watching my Native American brothers and sisters get dogged. Now, you talk about a population whose rights have been trampled on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My folks up there in Alaska, all these Native women dying, and those in power sitting back like, well, you know, that's an Eskimo thing. That's a Native Indian thing.
Well, you know, they
Let's
drink
solve those
and do
crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's solve those crimes. Let's get it taken care of. We claim we're America. Let's start taking care of all Americans.
Exactly.
The Supreme Court punked out today by pulling the stunt they pulled. And trust and believe, those chickens are going to come back to roost, and it ain't going to be pretty.
I tell you. Get ready to vote, y'all. Get your motor geared up to vote. Take people with you to the polls.
Get
Do
ready
it.
To vote because your vote is your voice. Take everybody you know to the polls. But in the meantime, get geared up.
That's right.
Stockpile what you need to. Take your folks to the range, like I always say. Get trained up and get ready. Because it's going to come to it, and you might as well take care of your folks like you're supposed to.
That's right.
Nobody's advocating violence, but we know that it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It truly looks that way, my brother. Truly looks that way.
Black America, it is time for us to take care of Black America once again. And like I said, allies is cool, but everybody want to be black until the police come.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sister Reed, you know what time
all
it
right.
is.
Yes, I do. And all of listeners, please remember that this is about a mindset. This is about a mindset. So please stay black, until we get back with you. Brother Tony?
I'm just going to keep it real, like I always do. Each one, reach one, teach one. Those of you proficient with your arms, take your folks to the range. Get them trained up. Get them ready to go. Get them licensed. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch these racist people who are watching us. Get ready to protect the village and the community. Keep your people close at hand, because the time is coming. Let no one put blinders on you. You know it when you see it. Everybody stay strong. Stay black. Keep that fist in the air. And next week, we'll holler again. Everybody stay safe.